Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that we are the children of the living God. And with His help, we're going to be talking about that tonight. And I just hope the Lord can give us some greater glimpse of the privileges that we have as the children of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to God again in prayer. And I will mention, I did get to talk to Carol yesterday, and she was going to see a doctor that day and another one today. They were getting ready to put some kind of insert in for dialysis, but we did pray, and I know she is trusting the Lord. She realizes her great need at this point, and I hope we can all just continue to keep her in prayer. And you know, she sounded good on the phone. I'll tell you what she did. You wouldn't know by her voice that, you know, she'd been so low and she had fallen, you know, a few days before, and she didn't know why. And anyway, that was going to be checked out, I believe. But let's continue to keep her in prayer. And if the Lord moves any to call her, please do. I think that would help her a lot. She's hoping to be here Sunday. So keep that in prayer too. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts. We thank you that we could serve a God who could move mountains. Oh, God, we're talking to the one who created this world and put it in motion, Lord. And oh, Lord, you brought us here for these moments, Lord. You brought us here for this time, God. And here we are as your children, Lord. And oh, God, we know that we could do nothing without you. Oh, God, you give us breath. You give us hope. Oh, Lord, oh, you give us salvation. So many things that we could never thank you enough. We could never praise you enough. We could never exalt you enough, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you'd move on us here tonight. I pray that you'd talk to us here tonight. Oh God, I pray that you'd change the things that need to be changed. And oh God, that you put faith in our hearts. Oh Lord, that realization of who you are. Oh God, and here we are, but dust. But we come to you, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. Oh God, we thank you for thy mighty goodness. Thy wonderful works to the children of man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We ask that you'd use this message. Oh, God, that you would use me. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that you'd be here, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd take care of the needs of your people, Lord. That you draw us close to you, Lord, that you'd show us the things that we need to see, that you give us faith, that you give us hope, Lord. Oh, God, help us to walk with you, Lord. Oh, God, with a renewed vigor, Lord. Help us to live above sin, above reproach. Oh, God, help us to live in victory, Lord. Oh, God, give us, oh, Lord, that kind of hope, oh, Lord, that kind of zeal. Oh, Lord, that your will might be done through us, oh, Lord, and in this world, oh, Lord, before, oh, Lord, it is over. We thank you in Jesus' name and praise thee, Lord. Oh, God, be here tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, we will call this message, Now Are We the Sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. And praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think of the wonderful transformation that God makes in our lives. Oh, he takes us as we are, you know, with all the misery that sin has, you know, invoked upon our lives, so to speak. And you know, he takes us and he, you know, begins to work in our hearts. And oh, he begins to transform us. Oh, yes, so that, oh my, we can come up higher. You know, we can be part of that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord, what the Lord has done, you know. And those old tendencies, those old ways, that old man that was a part of us, oh, begins to die. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, what God does for us as his children. How he redeemed us. And you know, we could surely say, as Paul wrote there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'll tell you what, that chapter there in 2 Corinthians goes on to say in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, because, oh yes, He put that within us so that we could present that ministry to this world that doesn't know Him, that they can be reconciled to Jesus Christ, oh, that they can be brought to Him, that they can be bought, you know, that they can be redeemed, that all their old way of life can be taken from them and a new life given in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, what He has done. It says in verse 19 here in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And it explains in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And it's obviously the message here that Paul is bringing out, that wonderful hope we have that we can be reconciled to God, brought back, redeemed, set free, all of those things. And why? It says in verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing that our Lord has done for us. And His plan through all the ages was that, oh yes, He knew that the old covenant would not be sufficient, but He was going to do what it would require to redeem us, to reconcile us back. Oh, yes, to bring us back to God. And that was the plan of God, that He would robe Himself in flesh and come to this world as the Son of God, as flesh as you and I, becoming one of us. He who was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator of all this world. Oh, coming to such a lowly state as that, to put on flesh, to come to this world, to reconcile us, to buy us back. And how would He do that? Oh yes, He put on flesh. But He also died that we might live. He took on our sins on that cross of Calvary that we might live, that we might be forgiven, that the plan of God might come to fruition. Oh yes, and that we might be redeemed and become His sons and His daughters, to become joint heirs with Christ. That's what He has done. And oh, there's so many prophetic utterances, but just going to Ezekiel 11 for a few verses. It says here in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Oh yes, the Lord was going to take a people, a remnant in reality, and a people, oh yes, that He would forgive, and that their sins would be forgiven. Oh yes, who would, you know, despise those things that God despises. Oh, you know, want to get rid of those things that He loathes and those abominations that were a part of our lives. But the Lord taking a people that He had called out, bringing them together in the Spirit, so to speak, that they might have one heart and that he might put a new spirit within them, the gift of the Holy Ghost, that he might put it within them, taking out that stony heart, that rebellious heart, that contrary heart out of the flesh, and give them a heart that was softened by the Spirit of the Lord, a heart that he could walk in and talk to, you know, and change, you know, and modify according to his ways, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And then it says in verse 21, but as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Oh, how it's all going to turn around one day. But thank the Lord for these wonderful moments that we have when we can turn our heart over to the living God. Oh, when we can repent and give it over to the Lord. Allow Him to take that old man, that old way of life, all those things, you know, that are in our hearts before we know the Lord, that those things that need to be gone. Oh, praise the Lord, those ways that we walked in that were loathsome to the Lord and detestable and abominable. And oh, thank God how He changes us. So that indeed, you know, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how He takes us. He begins to work in us and change us and make something of value out of what we were. You know, oh my. And you know, sometimes people think they're pretty hot. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have God, oh, you don't know, oh, what you are missing. You don't know how miserable you really are. And oh, wow, where that's all going to lead if you don't give your life over to the Lord. But praise the Lord, He made a way for us that we can come to Him, that we can walk in the light. Yes, we sang that song, and He is alive, and have that fellowship one with another. Oh, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin. Oh, praise the Lord, if we will just walk in the light as He is in the light. Praise the Lord. But we're going to go on now to the third chapter of 1 John. And we're going to talk about this wonderful ability, this wonderful gift that we've been given, this gift of salvation, or that ability to become even the sons of God. And here, oh yes, he cries out here, this very first verse of this third chapter, 1 John, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And I'll tell you what, we talked about it already a little bit, that wondrous love that He showed to us. I mean, it could be a contradiction in so many ways to think one as powerful, as omnipotent, oh my, as mighty as our God would do what He did, would put Himself in flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. And you know, it's definitely something to ask, you know. The psalmist asked in Psalms 81, is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest them. And that's a wonder, you know, and we think about the goodness of the Lord and what he has done for us and the promises that he has made and the hope that we have in him. I mean, we can wonder and wonder, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He could have ignored us. He could have left us in our misery and in our sin. You know, we could have just, you know, died and had no hope beyond that. But what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, it tells us here that we should be called the sons of God. And I mean, look at This is a marvel, because he's God. He is God. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And he has called us to be his own children, recipients of his grace, the sons of God, his sons and his daughters. I don't know if we could just even half imagine this. And the promises that, you know, he has promised to us. You know, here on earth, you know, I know as a parent, and in my case a mother, but, you know, certainly a father, you know, likewise has desires to give good things to his children and to, you know, show what mercy is possible, and, you know, whatever benefits that one can think of that, you know, would be a blessing to your own children. And likewise, if we could just begin to realize the promises of God, it's the good things that he has promised for us, because he has made us his own children, because he has redeemed us, oh yes, from the curse of sin, oh yes, from all the things, oh yes, that had brought us down. And we know, as it tells us in Galatians, the fourth chapter, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He goes on to say there in that fourth chapter of Galatians, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. And I'll tell you what, this is one marvel upon a marvel. God, with the fullness of the time, coming to this world, as we already had stated, and putting himself under his own law, with a hope, with the expectation that we could be his adopted children. And yes, not only, oh yes, taking those sins on the cross, but making a way there as he gave up the ghost, so that Holy Ghost could come back and dwell in our hearts, so that we could truly be adopted into the family of God. Oh, praise the Lord, identified in that family of God. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, yes, Abba, Daddy, a term of endearment. We can cry that because, oh, yes, he has bought us. He has redeemed us. He has adopted us into his very family. He said, wherefore thou art no more a servant. No, but instead a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, that's what he did for us. So back here in 1 John, oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Yes, they did recognize Jesus, did they? They didn't get it, that he was the creator of the universe, come in the flesh. They didn't quite get it, did they, for the most part? And if they didn't recognize him, I doubt that they're going to recognize us either. And then it goes on to say in verse 2 here, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, yes, there's much we don't know yet. Oh, but when he appears, we know that we're going to be like him. We are going to see him as he is. And what a marvel that is going to be. Oh, you know, Moses could not behold the face of God. He could not look on God. No man could look on the face of God and live. But yet, God is going to change this mortal body that we dwell in right now to immortality. And somehow, through His amazing grace and ability, we are going to see Him as He is. And what a marvel that is going to be. Oh, what a gift that is going to be. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20. It says in verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." All the things that we've not yet seen, that we can just marvel at this moment, but you know, it's going to happen. We are looking for our Savior. Our conversation, our conduct, our thoughts are in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With that promise, He's going to change our vile bodies, these earthly vessels that we live in, you know, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Praise the Lord, that's a hope that we have within us, according to the working whereby He is able also to subdue all things unto Himself. It tells us here, 1 John, that 3rd verse, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." And oh my, you know, it's quite a marvel, the transforming power of the Lord, you know, that He would take us and transform us by the power of His might. Oh yes, that you know, we could be made in His image. That transformation could take place. We know that we are not to be conformed to this world, but rather we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So praise the Lord, it's not through conformity to this world, but it's allowing God Almighty to renew our minds and the Holy Ghost so that we can be transformed. And this life that we live in Christ is one of purifying ourselves, making ourselves ready, making ourselves holy, making ourselves pure so that we can stand before Him. We glance over, at least in my Bible, on the other page here in 1 John, the 1st chapter, it says in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You see, that's why we are working on our own salvation with fear and trembling, because we're going to stand before Him one of these days. And we want to be able to, stand before Him with confidence. All that confidence gives us boldness in the day of judgment, as it tells us, in the 4th chapter of 1 John. "Herein is our love made perfect." Verse 17 in the 4th chapter of 1 John. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world." And that's what we are striving for. We need to be made pure. We need to be made ready and right in His sight. And, you know, it's quite a process to take us, you know, as we are, as we come to the Lord, you know, with all, you know, those things that are part of our fleshly nature. But thank God, He knows how to begin that transformation so that we can be changed, so that we can be made holy, so we can be able to stand, so we can have boldness in the day of judgment. So, you know, yes, boldness, because we're without reproach, we're without sin. We can stand before Him. Oh yes, that point that so many people don't get. Sin isn't going to stand on that day of judgment. He goes on to tell us here in the fifth verse here, 1 John 3, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. And you know the reason why he came? Yes, because, you know, we had a problem. We were in sin. We were living in our sins. We were caught in our sins. And the blood of bulls and goats, it just wasn't adequate to permanently remove those sins. But praise the Lord, he was revealed to this world. He came to this world. He was manifested to this world to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Praise the Lord, the perfect Lamb of God that came to take away our sins. As John the Baptist declared when he saw him, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And he lived without guile. He lived without blemish. He was that perfect Lamb of God. In him is no sin. Goes on to tell us in verse 6, whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And here it's talking about that privilege of abiding in him. Oh, it's of a necessity to abide in him and him in us. It tells us that in the 15th chapter of John, that the great necessity that, you know, we allow him to abide in us. Oh, to come into us and take his abode. In other words, when he gives us the Spirit, he comes into our hearts, into our lives, to make his abode there, so that we become his tabernacle, his dwelling place. And it all begins to work together. But that necessity here to abide in him, and him in us. And if we continue, you see the word is abideth. That E-T-H there on the word abide means continuing to abide, not just for a moment, not for one day, you know, and then forgetting all about it, but it's a continual process. When we come to the Lord, yes, to allow him to abide in us continually. And how do we do that? By walking in his ways, by living according to his precepts, according to his commandments. And if we are living in that way, oh yes, with that fear of the Lord, allowing him to direct our lives, giving it all over to him, it says, whosoever then will not sin. Sinneth hath not seen him. If that's the case, if you're living in sin, but if you're abiding in him, you sinneth not. But those that continue in the word is sinneth there in that second part of verse 6. It means continue to live in their sins. Hath not seen him. You know, the light hasn't shown, neither known him. You know, you can't be living for the Lord. You cannot be abiding in the Lord and continue in your sins. Goes on to say in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And you know, and we know that righteousness doesn't come from ourselves. There is no way. It has to be his righteousness. Oh, that clothing that he spiritually clothes us with so that we can take on his nature. Oh, we can take on his Spirit. We can be, oh, filled with his righteousness. And a lot of people are deceived. They think, you know, that a little sin isn't going to keep them out of heaven. There's a deception in that. And here there's a warning in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, speaking of the Lord. But he goes on to say in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, why did he come here? Oh, yes, he came just seeketh to save those that are lost, and that he might destroy the works of the adversary, of the old devil. Oh, yes. And make us joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why he was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I'll tell you what, as we yield our lives to the Lord, we don't want any part of that old sin nature. It starts to creep up and show its ugly head. Oh, we need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus and turn it over to the Lord. Oh, yes, to give it over to him. The 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus told parables, and in one of his parables was the parable of the tare. And that 24th verse there in Matthew 13, he begins to tell the story there that Jesus was bringing forth in that parable. He likened the kingdom of God unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. He tells us in verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse 26 says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. You know, what a surprise. You know, the gardener there did not plant tares, did he? But somehow they appeared. So the question is asked here in verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? How did they get here, in other words? Why are there tares? Did you plant good seed? And the reply was in verse 28. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And later, the disciples, after he came and sat with them, they asked him about this parable that he had told the multitude after he sent them away and they were in the house. It tells us in verse 36, the disciples came unto him and asked him again. They wanted to know a little bit more. They said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And this is how Jesus answered in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. Here he's giving us, you know, his program here. Oh yes, those that are not the friends of God are going to be considered tares, I'm afraid. And here he tells us very clearly that the harvest is the end of the world. When this will be done. And it tells us very clearly here that the tares are going to be gathered first and burned in the fire. And so shall it be in the end of the world. And yes, as that trump of the Lord sounds, and the trump of God begins to sound, what is he doing? He is gathering forth his elect. It tells us in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But then it says in verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, yes, those tares are gathered. Anything that does offend, anything that does iniquity, anything that has sin, oh, it's going to be separated there at the time of the harvest. And it's going to leave only the good seed. Oh, yes, it's going to leave those that are joint heirs with Christ. And praise the Lord, then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, yes, the gathering of the tares at the end of this world. Oh, yes, and the righteous. Oh, yes, now separated from the tares and shining forth. Oh, yes, as the light of God is reflected in their lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So back here in 1 John, yes, oh man, we clearly see that he that committeth sin is not the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's what was happening in that parable that Jesus Christ was telling there in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Verse 9 goes on to say, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In other words, that tendency, that desire is gone. As long as we abide in him, oh, and continue to do his will, that desire to sin is quenched. It is no longer a part of our makeup. And there is, you know, no thought even to sin. We don't want to go up there and have a big party and commit all kinds of dreadful things that are abominable in the sight of God. But he put that within us, that seed of Jesus Christ, which is within us, you know, that's going to shine forth one of these days. Oh, yes. But I'll tell you what, it tells us here, yes, in this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And here it tells us, yes, it, you know, this is, you know, we differentiate here between the children of God and the children of the devil. You know, those that love God, those that are the children of God, are going to want to do righteous. They're not, you know, they're not going to want to sin. They're not going to want to live in the filth of this world. But in contrast, those that are the children of the devil don't have that seed of the living God within them. They have not been born again, in other words, of the water and of the Spirit, as the need is. And then in verse 10, here it goes another step, you know, another way of identifying one another as God's children. Those that are not heirs with Christ, those that are not children of God. It says, neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh, there's something else here. Oh, yes, there. A great need is going to be brought out here in these scriptures about that need to love one another. It tells us in verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And thank God for what he has done. You know, that was going to be a great sign. Jesus said, you know, that he gave us a new commandment. And that was that we should love one another. He went on to say there in John the 13th chapter that by that indicator, that love that we have one for another, that all men would know that we are his disciples. Oh, so what, you know, what an important thing this is. So that was a message that we have heard from the beginning that John is talking about in this 11th verse, that we should love one another. And not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew ye him? Question. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Oh, there was enmity between them because obviously, you know, there were things in Cain's heart that were not right with God. Oh, he had things down deep inside in the crevices of his heart that were evil. You know, God said to Cain, yes, when he did not accept his sacrifice, he said to him, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. There was something deep inside Cain. Oh, yes, he offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. Of the fruit of the field, whatever all of, you know, of that which, you know, he had reaped from his garden. But a lot of questions to ponder here. Maybe it wasn't the best. It maybe wasn't done with his heart. Maybe he did it with reluctance. Obviously, he did it with sin in his heart. There was something, you know, his works were evil. And, you know, how can you give a gift to God if you have envy and strife and bitterness and hatred and all kinds of works of the flesh in your heart? How can you give a gift to God and be accepted? And, you know, that's the way it is these days right now, too. You have all kinds of sin in the crevices of your heart. How can God accept your person? How can he accept your sacrifices? Oh, you might do them, but will they be acceptable? I say not. Not if there are sins deep down in your heart. Envy, pride, hatred, variance, all kinds of evil things that you haven't given over to the Lord. Unforgiveness. Hating your brother. All those kind of things that creep in. Oh, there is a great need to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. And oh, yes, we've got to remember this example. Cain, his sacrifice was not accepted of God because he had allowed certain characteristics down in his heart that did not please the Lord. That did not make his sacrifice acceptable. Obviously, one of the things that was down inside was a hatred for his brother, it seems. And yes, he slew his brother. Yes, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. It goes on to say in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Oh, it hated Jesus. How can we expect the world to love us, therefore? But we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Oh, what an indicator that is there. Verse 14. Oh, this, you know, passing. Oh, from, you know, the things of this world. Giving our hearts over to the Lord. You know, without the Lord, we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. We don't know what it's like to be alive in the Lord Jesus by any means. But praise the Lord when He comes into our lives. When He begins to make His abode in our hearts, then we pass from death unto life. Old things pass away, remember? Oh, yes. All things become new. We're a changed person. When we truly give our life to the Lord, when, oh, yes, we say goodbye to the things of this world. Oh, yes. Those things that are of the world, you know. Oh, it tells us in 1 John, that second chapter, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. All those old tendencies, those things that were down deep in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift we've been given. Oh, yes, to give those things over to the Lord, that he might redeem us. Oh, yes, that he might change us, that we might become his sons and his daughters, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. But those old things have to go because they're not of God. They are of the world. This world that is going to pass away, and they have to go. We have to, you know, say goodbye. Adios to those things. And praise the Lord. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Oh, there is such a need. Yes, that we have this love one for another. He is certainly emphasizing it here in this third chapter of 1 John. It goes on to say in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He's equating hatred for one's brother or sister, of course, is the same as being a murderer. Oh, yes, it's obvious. You know, I guess almost everybody knows that a murderer isn't going to go to heaven, I guess, you know, unless they're forgiven their sins. But, you know, do people consider that, you know, if they have hate down deep inside their heart, if they have unforgiveness for, you know, somebody, you know, that it's going to count against them, that they're not going to be forgiven? But it says in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, yes, and we know that greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his brethren. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. And there's no greater love than that. And that's how we can perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And also, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It goes on to say in verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowls of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And that's a good question, you know. James talked about it in his book, the second chapter, I believe. You know, if, you know, your brother comes to you and he needs, you know, a garment, he needs a blanket, or he needs some food, and you say, go in peace, and give him nothing, then faith without works is dead. You know, that doesn't mean a thing. You know, we can talk all we want to, but, you know, if our talk isn't put into action, it's going to be worth nothing. And here it states that, you know, if you just see somebody in need and you don't have compassion on them, then the love of God isn't in you. It says in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And yes, it brings it out in James, that second chapter, you know, that need to show our faith by our works. Faith without works is dead, being alone, he told us. And here this scripture also goes along that same line. Oh, that great need to love. Oh, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Our actions do speak louder than our words. Goes on to say in verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You see, sin will condemn us. And if we have not given that sin over to God, then we're walking in condemnation. Oh, yes, our hearts will condemn us because it's not right in the sight of God. It's not been cleared of its sin. Turning here for a little bit to Romans, the 6th chapter. Oh, this chapter here in Romans is telling us so to the point that, you know, sin cannot reign in our mortal bodies. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, yes, we give it over to the Lord. We yield our minds, our emotions, our desires over to the Lord so He can transform us. We yield that unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15 asks, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? The answer is, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? And you know what it boils down to? We are either yielding our members, our flesh, our body over to God Almighty, unto obedience, to His will, to His ways, to His thoughts, to His desires. Or otherwise, it's the other way. We've yielded ourselves to the way of the world, unto sin. So one way is of death, damnation. The other way is the way of obedience unto righteousness. Paul explains in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Oh, we all walked back there. We had all sinned. We had all come short of the glory of God. We all had walked in those ways. We were born in this world in sin. And yes, it became a pattern. It became a way of life. Till the Lord reached down in His mercy, His goodness. Oh, yes, to save us from our sin, to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, so, yes, that we might become a member of His family. Oh, yes, a part of His body, part of the temple of the Holy Ghost. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Oh, praise the Lord, you listened. Oh, yes, and the gospel was presented. Oh, yes, it struck a nerve in your heart. Oh, as it did on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that first message. And oh, yes, he was to the point. Oh, yes, and oh, he told them to their face that they had crucified the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty. They had put Him to shame on that cross. But praise the Lord, death could not hold Him. Praise the Lord, and He was a resurrected Lord and Savior. And then, yes, on that day of Pentecost, He sent back of His Spirit. Oh, yes, so that, oh, He might put His Spirit in our very being. And praise the Lord for that. Oh, yes, those people on the day of Pentecost, those many that had gathered there, oh, yes, when they heard them speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, speaking forth in languages, their own native languages, languages that all these that were filled with the Holy Ghost had never learned. Oh, they heard, they were pricked in their heart, weren't they? They said, men and brethren, what must we do? Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Peter was able to bring forth all the gospel message, all the need to repent, to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, the way that we become joint heirs with Christ. Oh, yes, and that promise of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, we are included in the plan of God. And thanks be to God that when we heard the gospel, that there was a response in our heart. Oh, yes, we were pricked in our heart. We were convicted of our sin. We fell to our knees. We cried out to the living God. And what wonderful mercy He has shown us. Oh, it says here in Romans 6, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Praise the Lord, we were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, made free from our sins, because we were all servants of sin. Oh, yes, but He bought us, He redeemed us, He reconciled us. Goes on to say in verse 19, I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. See the contrast between the old man and the new man. Oh, yes, once we were the servants of sin. Once we walked in the ways of the devil. Oh, we were his servants. Oh, we were walking in his terrible, filthy uncleanness. And all that iniquity and all those other things that were part of our makeup, our thinking, oh, our manner of life. But now, in contrast, because we have come to the Lord, now we yield our members as servants to righteousness, given over to the Lord, yes. Because, yes, we have been bought with a price. And it explains here, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord that we've been freed from sin. It states so clearly here, the end of those things is death, and it means eternal damnation. Oh, we would have been separated from the presence of the Lord for all eternity. Oh, that eternal death. But praise the Lord God and His wonderful love, His wonderful plan. Oh, yes, that He would come to this world and redeem us. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we were so doomed. Oh, we were under that condemnation. But oh, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Oh, what a difference, what a contrast it makes. Back here, let's finish this third chapter of 1 John. Verse 20 again. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment.
And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. For the proof that he is with us, yes, he has given us of his Spirit, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And yes, if we are abiding in him, we walk in his ways. We keep his commandments, his precepts, his ways. If we do that, then our heart won't condemn us. We will have boldness in the day of judgment, that boldness to stand before him. So I'll tell you, can you imagine looking at a holy God if there's sin in your life? Can you imagine doing that? Oh, it's going to be an awesome moment beyond anything that we can imagine in this world. But oh, we don't want sin. Sin will condemn us. Sin sends us to hell. But praise be to God who made a way that we could be brought back to God, that we could be reconciled. Oh, yes, that manner of love that he has bestowed upon us, that we might become the sons of God. We might be called the sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, I'll tell you what, the wonderful things that he has bestowed upon us. Oh, because we are his children. And because he put his Spirit down in his heart, down in our hearts, we keep his commandments. You know, we deny the flesh. You know, we don't want a part of sin. We can't abide in sin. Oh no, sin is of the devil. Oh yes, if you live in sin, it tells the tale that you are the child of the devil. You know, just put it that way. That's how it's declared here in this chapter, 1 John. But the Lord has made a way that we could be forgiven our sins and our trespasses. Oh, a way that we could walk in the light, even as he is the light, and have that fellowship one with another. Oh, no, it is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from sin. Oh, praise the Lord, we had all sinned, we'd all come short. Oh, the wages of sin was death. But God made a way that we could be reconciled to him. Oh, and that we could be led by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, it tells us also in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Praise the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption. Oh, praise the Lord. What he did, that manner of love that he bestowed upon us, that we could become the sons of God, that Spirit of adoption. So we are not living in the Spirit, the realm of bondage. Sin is bondage. We don't have to fear because we've given our hearts to the Lord and he has forgiven us our sins and our trespasses. Oh, so we could walk in the light. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ,
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, life may have, its hard moments. Oh, there may be trials and tests, and I guarantee that there are. But the Lord has made a way, oh, yes, that he would take us through those moments, those hardships, those persecutions, those trials, those things that may be hard to bear, because we are his children. We have been adopted into the family of God. That spirit of adoption has made itself known so that we can cry, Abba, Father. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we realize what he has done for us? We who are without hope in this world. We who are lost, you know. Oh, we who are just wandering around in our sin, in our misery. Didn't know the way out. Oh, yes, until that light shone. Oh, the light of God. Oh, it shone so that suddenly we could see. Suddenly we could understand. Suddenly it interrupted our life, our living. We could see. We could see the great need to turn over to the living God. Oh, yes, to bend that knee in repentance, but to give it over to the Lord that we might be forgiven our sins. We might be forgiven our trespasses. Oh, yes, we might be made children of the living God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, that moment when he calls. Oh, that moment, yes, when, oh, yes, oh, we walk up the streets of gold. We behold our God, oh, and we see him as he is. Oh, not knowing how it's going to be exactly, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And oh, with that hope is deep in our heart. Oh, that hope is churning within us. We purify ourselves even as he is pure. That hope that is deep within us. Oh, that day that we will someday rule and reign with Christ Jesus. Joined heirs with Christ. I praise the Lord. Yes, he put it within us so that, you know, we no longer walk in the ways of this world. We've given those lusts over to God so that we don't have it within us. We've been forgiven. We don't have to walk in those ways. We can do his will. We can abide in him and he in us. We can keep his commandments. And surely if he dwelleth in us, if he's abiding, he's abiding in us, we will do his will. We will do his commandments. We will not be living in sin. But instead, we'll be living unto God. Oh, yes, as the redeemed of the Lord, as the sons of God, as joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. We know that he abideth in us, but the Spirit which he hath given us. Oh, praise the Lord. That great, wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that he put deep within us, that we might walk in his ways and have fellowship with him. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if we love God, we're going to love our brother. We're going to love our sister. Amen. We're going to walk in the ways of God and hate the ways of the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Led by the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise thy holy name, Lord. We love you, Lord. You first loved us. Thank you, God. Praise our God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we sang it earlier. Let's sing it again. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb, and we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We are the sons of God. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed on the prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.